Pastor Young is going to bring us the message today.
Well, good morning. I am honored to be here on only your second Sabbath. It's exciting. I had to walk outside and just appreciate the beauty of your church up on the hill here. My church is on a little hill, but not as pretty as this. And mine's way out in the country, too. Okay, but I like it. I'm honored to be, you know, the second speaker here in your new sanctuary. I think it's fantastic. God has been good to you, hasn't He? Been real good to you. And I like to see the young people involved, too. I had fun sitting back in their Sabbath school class this morning. I know that I believe Adventure's big fun day tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah. Fun day at Nosoka tomorrow for Adventure's. And I'm thinking we're going to have somewhere between 800 and 1,000 there. And that's going to be a decent crowd. So I'm really looking forward to being there with that. In fact, I'll be going on down to Nosoka from here and help set up the rest of the stuff tonight so that everything's ready for you first thing in the morning when they arrive. So all of that has been really good. Really good. Loved your children's story, too, about watching the kids arguing in the car. You know, I heard a similar story about this person that was driving down the road and, you know, somebody cut them off in the car. They were blowing the horn, shaking the fist, doing, you know, obscene signs at them and going down the road. And patrolman pulled them over and asked for his driver's license and registration. And want to know, why did you do that? Well, the bumper sticker says, honk if you love Jesus. And I was afraid somebody had stolen your car the way you were acting. So there's a lot, too. People can tell, you know, that you're a Christian just by the way you act and what you say and what you do. So again, let me open with another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner and not worthy to be here. Thanks to the blood of Jesus am I considered worthy to be here. Lord, I pray that you can take a coal from heaven's altar and touch my lips so that the words that I say today will be pure. Help each one here to have open ears, hearts, and understanding, and if necessary, be willing to make a change in their lives from something heard today is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the greatest scientists of all times was who? Albert Einstein. That's right, Albert Einstein. And amazingly enough, as brilliant as he was, as he approached the end of his career, he says, find out about prayer. Someone must find out about prayer. And I mean, that's the way he would have addressed the problem. He would say, you know, hey, let's figure it out, okay? He'd already spent a lifetime creating and observing laws of the universe. And yet this man, the scientist, who did more for the field of science than anybody else, wanted to unlock the secrets of prayer. I mean, he's the one that unlocked the secrets of the atom. You know, the E equals MC squared when he wrote it on the board. And that's the formula that's changed the world forever, it seems like. But yet he wanted desperately to discover the dynamics of prayer. So if we're going to meet heaven's expectations for us as we approach the final days of time, we must do several things. We'll have to find out much more about prayer if we're going to unlock the secrets of personal growth in grace and release the enormous powers of God that God has made available to His church and for the accomplishment of His purpose here on earth. In other words, we're going to have to get serious about prayer, believe it or not. It is crucial that we find out about the powers of prayer. Alex Carrel was another protege, so to speak, a contemporary of Einstein. And he wrote this, and I want to read this word for word in the Encyclopedia of Religious Quotes. He said, "Prayer is the most powerful form of energy that one can generate. The influence of prayer on the human mind and body is as demonstrable as the secretion glands. Prayer is a force as real as terrestrial gravity. It supplies us with the flow of sustaining power in our lives." And that's pretty powerful. And And if prayer is this powerful, no wonder why HMS Richards Sr. made this observation. Prayer is the most talked about, yet the least practiced of all Christian beliefs. The most talked about and least practiced. So if you happen to be one of those that do not believe in prayer or don't take enough time to pray, perhaps it's because you don't know the person whom you are praying to. To find out about prayer, let's introduce you to what God is first. Elder C.E. Bradford shares God in these words where he says, "The God of the Bible is a personal being, powerful beyond description, omnipotent, all-wise and knowing, omniscient, and present everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. He nevertheless has an interest in and concern for every human being here on earth. He takes delight in communicating with us. He even pursues us." Okay? He looks for us. He looks for us. He's kind, compassionate, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, has unlimited patience, and generous, and a whole bunch of other descriptive adjectives that we could go on and on that describes love, but basically, in other words, God is love. Plain and simple. That pretty much describes my God. How about yours? You know? My God is approachable, and He's interested in me. Doesn't it just stagger the imagination to realize that this all-powerful God here that we have calls me, a lowly human being, to engage in continual conversations with Him? It just blows your mind that here He is that created all that, yet He wants me, little me, insignificant me, to constantly pray to Him, talk to Him. Okay? And it's a fail-safe system to personally assure us of instant and constant communication with Him. Is this your God? I hope so. Get my 40 glasses on now. Ephesians 3:12. "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." In other words, effective, fervent prayer has everything to do with understanding who Jesus is and what His role and function is in the plan of salvation. So let's cover just what the definitions are, what we just talked about. The word effective, what does that mean? Effective means that it is adequate enough to accomplish a purpose, or in what people might say today, it gets the job done. Okay? That's what it means to be effective. And fervent means showing great warmth or intensity in spirit. In fact, the Bible even talks about that kind of prayer in James 5:16. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails" what? Much. Not little. Much. I'm glad you know that scripture too. You just rang out with the instance. If I'd have said the wrong word, you'd have corrected me, wouldn't you? I hope so. I hope so. Okay? But there's so much packed into the endeavors of prayer, it's pretty much impossible to cover all of the components and aspects of prayer in just this little short message today. So what is it that you want to achieve with your prayers? You know, the time spent in the communication with the Lord is spent doing what? Okay? Developing a relationship and seeking God's will for you, or asking for your needs or desires, or maybe it's discussing something about your desires to do service for the Lord. What can you do, Lord, to lead me? Or maybe it's an intercessory prayer where you are interceding on behalf of somebody else, or yourself maybe. Perhaps there might be a need for financial assistance or meeting some upcoming bills. I'm sure you had a lot of prayers about the Lord leading you in building this beautiful sanctuary. Perhaps in some cases it's a pleading for healing. Let's look a little bit about Jesus' approach to life and to prayer. When he spoke of his Father, let's look at John 6, 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 8:29. Again, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Then jump back a little bit to John 5:30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I mean, so utterly was Christ emptied to self that he made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plan for him, and day by day, the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend upon God that our lives may be simple outworking of his will within us. I mean, can you imagine the power of our prayers if we prayed according to the will of the Father as what Jesus did? I mean, here's a key concept I want you to take with you today. Pray according to the will of the Father. Pray to the will of the Father. And this is evidence from the Lord's Prayer, you know. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I use that prayer to that point frequently. I'm one of the volunteer chaplains at Lexington Medical Center. And so when you see anywhere from 30 to 50 people a night when you work, and you're called into intensive care, and I see you where, you know, someone decides to take them off of life support or what have you, and you're trying to comfort the family and they want prayers, here's what I'll pray with them, and I'll tell them that, yeah, we have the model prayer. Yeah, God's going to heal you one way or another. It could be through surgery, rehab, and therapy. It could be through a miracle, or it could be resurrection morning. But either way, God's going to heal that body. Here's what I do. I will pray with them and remind them, Lord, we place them in your hands. Ask for your will to be done. But then, Father, I'm human, selfish, and greedy, and I want, I want, I want. So help me. If what I want is not your will, help me to accept your will and have the strength to move forward and give you the credit for it if it's not what I want. Okay, that's a very difficult aspect of prayer for a lot of people to grasp, because they will pray for that miraculous healing and, oh, I hate God because he didn't heal somebody. You know, I prayed for a miracle and it didn't happen. I don't believe God. Well, that's not the way we pray. We pray for the Lord's will to be done. And if you sit back and look at the big picture, sometimes later on you can see that God answered the prayer in the best way and you can see the result. You don't always get fortunate enough to see that. And there are times that we may have to wait till we get to heaven to understand just what's going on. Okay, so helping us to understand a little bit about following God's will. You know, we've got a lot of Bible promises, and don't you love them? You know, I mean, how many of you use Bible promises every day and rely on Bible promises to help you out? I mean, I tell you what, learning a lot of these. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, not boasting proudly, humble themselves, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What a promise. What a promise. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. We're promised we'll find Jesus if we truly, truly search for Him. You know, Randy Maxwell in his book that says, if my people pray, ask and answers this question. What does it mean to seek God's face? What does it mean to seek God's face? And then his response is, I believe it simply means to pursue God Himself above all else. To let His purpose, His priorities, and His agenda matter the most in our lives. Blessings. Now, how many of us relate blessings to being disciplined enough to have a prayer life, to acknowledge that we need a relationship with God and have a desire to follow God's will? Did you even realize that blessings are bestowed upon us because we have prayed to God? Whenever we take the time to spend with God, He wants to share with us. Matthew 7:11 is probably another one we're familiar with. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Ask Him. Okay? So recapping those two promises that we just read a bit ago in Chronicles and Jeremiah, they have blessings embedded in them for us. And they will forgive our sins and heal our lands, and find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. David tells us in Psalms in several places that the Lord wants to bless us. Psalms 113:12, the Lord has been merciful, mindful of us, and He will bless us. Psalms 113:15, He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Now, don't forget, though, don't forget, however, we have an adversary that doesn't want us to pray. He's going to find ways to keep us from praying. Satan knows what happens when we pray. We get closer to God because of the relationship, the bond, and the connection that we are developing. Okay? And as this bond becomes more and more intimate, we become better at following God's will because we know Him and we love Him so much that we want to follow Him and go wherever He may lead us. You know, it's kind of like a married couple that's been married and to love each other for you know, all these years. And it's like one can start a statement and the other one can finish that statement, isn't it? Yeah, I see some heads nodding, some smiles going up. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, exactly. We can finish each other's sentences. Of course, Satan does not want us to be this dedicated to God or to love God that much. Why? Because he loses his hold on us. He loses his hold if we follow Jesus, and we cannot follow Satan if we have that long, strong connection with God. Okay? Here's a quote that says, it is important to realize that Satan can no more hinder a shower of blessings from descending upon God's people than he can close the windows of heaven that rain cannot come upon the earth. Satan can't stop the rain and he can't stop God's blessings on us if we're praying. That's exciting. Okay? Now, let's look at another text. Luke 11:9. And this is a text that we might need to pay a little bit closer attention to, especially since God said it. Try to turn two pages and 12 go. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and ye will find. Knock and it will be open to you. So the implication here is plain and simple. If you do not ask, you're going to miss out on a lot of good things. Don't just sit down and expect God to bless you just because you go to church. Okay? You have, James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. You know? And I think that God's going to bless us in proportion to our faithfulness in prayers. Plain and simple. The more we pray, expressing love and trust, the more God is going to bless us. Realize that there are many good things that God will do if we pray. And there's a lot of things He will not do if we do not pray. Okay? So how much should you pray? How much should you pray? I guess that kind of depends on how much you want to be blessed. It really does. You know, I've thrown this question out to groups before. You know, you need prayer and you need to read the Bible every day. If you've only got so much time to spend in prayer and reading the Bible, where should you spend the most time? Reading the Bible or praying? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. You can look at it that, you know, by talking to someone, you get to know them better. So one could say praying is where you need to spend more time. The other way of looking at it is God already knows all about you. How are you going to get to know about Him? There's two arguments to that. That's up to you. But let's just look at some of the blessings that are in store for our life. I'm going to go over 7. There's a lot more, but I'm only going to cover 7. Okay? Number 1, prayer expresses supernatural love for God and each other, and thus results in more love for the rest of the world. Okay? When most people say, "I love you," that kind of means that, hey, you make me happy, doesn't it? That's generally what it is. However, biblical love goes a lot farther than that and says, "I'm committed to you no matter what you do." When we receive God's love in prayer and tell God repeatedly that you love Him, you're going to automatically begin to appropriate that supernatural love to your fellow man. And it will be evident. It will be. You know, especially for those who rub you the wrong way. It's kind of like my mother used to say that, you know, if somebody makes you mad or does you wrong, pray for them. It's awful hard to hate somebody that you're praying for. I challenge you to try it sometime, you know. When we pray for people, God intervenes in relationships and He makes up for a lot of our mistakes. So pray for that person, you know. Paul's prayer request tells us about the love that God's going to provide for us as we pray for people. Philippians 1:9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment." Wow. Wow. Isn't that something that we all want to desire? You know, don't we have a new commandment that we love one another as I have loved you, to love your neighbor as yourself? 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Truly supernatural outcome of prayer. Truly. Blessing number 2. Prayer builds relational unity. Relational unity. Believers are more likely to take steps of obedience in the safer environment of unity. How? Unity must be maintained by the supernatural presence of God with us. Okay? God's people are going to experience spiritual growth and energizing joy so much to the point that the non-believers are going to see the supernatural in our lives. And all of that is to the glory of God. All of that. You know, Another quote says, "Let Christians put away all dissension and give themselves to God for the saving of the lost. Let them ask in faith for the promise of blessing, and it will come." Have you ever realized that unity among us is a blessing? It is a blessing. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, that topped Jesus' prayer request list in John 17:11. "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Okay? And Jesus prays for all the believers. I do not pray for these in John 17, 20, and 21. If somebody's writing them down, I don't want to read over something without giving you where it came from. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be as one, as you, the Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." That's Jesus praying for all the believers, right there. I mean, what higher standard of unity being role model than authority and inspiration can we have to represent us than Jesus Himself? And doesn't that reflect God's will for us as well? Blessing number three, prayer deepens your relationship with God, enhancing the power of His presence in your life. Now, there's a little story about a family years ago. Now, this was, I don't know, probably back in the 60s, and about a little boy. And I think he was staying with his uncle or something for whatever reason. But his uncle called him up and said, "How would you like a nickel?" Okay. Great. Back then, a nickel was something. It was. And I said, and he was all, the little boy was all excited and everything. I said, "You know what? Anytime you want a nickel, just come up and ask." So, later on, the little boy comes up, says, "Hey, Uncle, got a nickel?" "Sure." Reaches in his pocket, gives him another nickel. Next day, "Hey, got a nickel?" "Sure." Gives him a nickel. And this went on. And pretty soon, the little fellow just started studying the habits of his uncle. What time he got up, when he ate, what he did for breakfast, you know, what TV programs he liked to watch, and pretty much all of that. And he found out that every time he went to him, he'd give him a nickel. So the little boy got to thinking. He said, "Hey, Uncle, I got an idea." "So what's that?" "Why don't you just give me all of the nickels you have and I won't have to keep bothering you?" You know, that's not the way it works. The idea was he was glad to give him a nickel and bless him. But he also had the joy and communion of the boy coming up to him and spending that time together in order to get that nickel. Okay? So, that's the reason, so he could spend the time with the child. You know, "I'll keep giving them to you. You keep coming to me." Similarly, God calls us to frequent, increasingly intimate conversations so that He can pour out more blessings upon our lives as well. Okay? In our minds, we just kind of feel that some people think our life should be like the Santa Claus approach and get it all at one time or something like that. But no. No, we don't ask for everything, you know, not just on limited occasions. Without the frequent investment of time, we could easily forget God, and our relationship would never grow, would it? If we only went to God that one time and got all the blessings like all the nickels at once, we'd forget about it pretty soon, wouldn't we? We would, you know. The time we spend with God leads us to getting those blessings, and eventually, the treasure of the greatest blessing of all, Jesus Himself and His presence with us. That is what we're looking for. You know, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will see, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." That's Psalms 27:4. and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Psalms 27, verse 8. The fourth benefit of prayer is it produces a fruit of positive attitude, joy, confidence, and security, faith, and peace. That's a lot, but it's a good blessing. It's a good blessing. Whenever we fill our lives with prayer, have you ever noticed that the whining kind of drops off and you quit whining so much and you don't complain so much and our existence becomes considerably more enjoyable? You enjoy life a whole lot more. We recognize the good in our circumstances and in others and in God. Okay? Thus, coming closer to continuous joy and gratitude. You know, doesn't Philippians say, rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? That's be happy, isn't it? You know, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5, you know. The problems don't go away, but if you pray about them daily, they will all fade in comparison to all that there is to be grateful for. You know, so if you pray for those problems, Psalms 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures. Joyful things. Pleasures are things that we really enjoy. Ephesians 1:18-19, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Okay? Blessing number five. We're in the home stretch now. Blessing number five. Prayer produces spiritual growth. It does. It's totally okay to pray for our own personal character growth and maturity, believe it or not. That's okay. Changes will be made by the Holy Spirit with our willingness. If we are willing, thus we will become more and more like Jesus Himself. Ephesians. Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might throughout His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that in you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, that's good. Blessing number six. Prayer produces boldness, courage, and passion to reach our lost friends, neighbors, and relatives for Christ. That's right. The closer our relationship is with Him, the closer we are to wanting to see our friends and neighbors and everybody else, and the more apt we will be to try to share the love of Jesus with them. I mean, prayer cultivates within inside you the heart of Jesus, compassion for the people that are in need. You know, I mean, at first we might pray for the lost people simply because, you know, it's the right thing to do. But as we persist, we're going to gain Christ's heart, the heart that caused Him to come down to this earth and suffer and die. You know, Ephesians 6:19, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Boldly. To be bold is not be ashamed. to just get up there and do it. Seventh blessing. Prayer combats Satan's influence over you and others. We should never, never, never not acknowledge or understand that Satan is very skillful and powerful. He wants nothing more than to destroy us and the impact that we can have on the world. We must call upon our Heavenly Father in heaven to fight Satan for us. We can't fight Satan alone. We cannot. We must call upon Him. Remember how to put on the full armor of God, okay? Prayer builds emotional strength and endurance in the face of trials. The more you pray, the better you can stand up to the trials and temptations that we are going to go. You know, I mean, here's a promise that a lot of us have heard in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and maybe some of you have it committed to memory. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you as such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." We're going to have temptations. We are going to have temptations. Okay? Let's see here. I think it's... I think it's 2 Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy. Yes. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Okay? It's not going to be an easy street. If you have not established that relationship with Jesus, then the persecutions you're going to have to endure, you won't be able to endure them. Okay? We must call on Jesus. Samuel Chadwick was a Wesleyan minister, and he once said that Satan dreads nothing but prayer. The only thing Satan dreads is prayer. The one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. Satan fears nothing from the prayerless studies or the prayerless work and the prayerless religion. Okay? If you don't have prayer involved in it, Satan's not worried about what you do because he knows it's not grounded. And he's still got control of you. Satan cannot endure to have his powerful rival appealed to because he fears and trembles before his strength and majesty. At the sound of fervent prayer, Satan's whole host trembles. Trembles. John 17:15, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Our job is to try to tell people about a Jesus and how that loving Jesus can protect us from the Satan who is trying to get a hold of this world. That Satan is trying to grab, he knows his days are numbered. The way the world events are now, I just don't see how it can be much longer before Jesus comes. And it's like the old song used to go, "I want to be ready when Jesus comes." I want to be ready. I want to close with highlighting just the blessings that we gain from prayer. Love, unity, relationship with God, a positive attitude, spiritual growth, service, and combating Satan. Those are the things that we can gain from prayer. Those are just some of the many blessings we can gain of prayer. Is that your desire today, is to have those blessings upon you? And can we say, "Thank you, Lord"? Heavenly Father, what a challenge we have, dear Lord. May we all gain the blessings from prayer that you have promised us. May we be faithful in our prayers so that we can spread your love and take the name of Jesus with us wherever we go, so that there will be no doubt in people's minds that we are your children and we're heaven bound. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.